ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
How would you feel about eating the same food as dinosaurs? A nutritious native nut once eaten by the ancient creatures has huge potential to be a part of the booming indigenous bush food industry. And it could be grafted to improve its productivity and resistance to dieback disease, according to a Queensland researcher. Dr. Jacqueline Mora-Nadolny from the University of Queensland has been walking the sensitive line between examining new uses for bunya nuts without exploiting First Nations knowledge and food sovereignty. She tells Jennifer Nichols that in Brazil, the country where she was born, they regularly eat the nut from a coniferous tree from the same family.
There are 19 species around the world. So it's called Araucaria, the family, which I think most people know. But in Brazil, we have another type of Araucaria. The nut is called pinhão. And there's another one in Chile. So these three are edible by humans because they are big nuts and you can boil and roast them and prepare them as a food. The other 16 trees, they are mostly eaten by animals only because they are very tiny types of banana nuts. And yeah, there is one in Brazil as well, one type that we consume a lot. We eat every year. I grew up eating them all the time. Every winter, or we stored them as well and ate during the whole year. Now they are investing in making products with the nuts as well, but I grew up eating them as they are, just boiled with some salt and water and eating as a snack, which is really good.
So delicious.
Yes, it is.
Have you had much interest from Indigenous communities in Australia that you've been reaching out to think about commercially producing bunya nuts for food?
Yeah, so during my PhD, we tried to talk to a lot of Indigenous communities and try to showcase our work as well. That was good. And I saw a lot of them interested, not only in the grafting that I talked about in my last year, but also all the health benefits. When I made the breads with the flour, they were really, really interested. Some of them came and tried the breads as well and were really enjoying it and thought it could be like a good commercial way to do it. And now I'm trying to talk as much as I can to the Indigenous communities to see like how it could help them, how we could start producing a commercial scale, if they think it's a good idea. Yeah, if they think so, how we could do it in a way that could benefit them as well. But I'm definitely seeing a lot of interest, especially in the grafting now, because of this fungus, because they know each year we have less and less availability of the nuts.
So the Phytophthora that's causing dieback, do you think that you could potentially find some more resistant trees to graft onto?
Maybe. Yeah, I'm not an expert in grafting or not an expert in plant, but I definitely think it could be something really interesting to do. I'm talking to some people who are interested in grafting and also getting some information from experienced people in Brazil who did grafting with these types of trees. And then we could start thinking of like a plan to start grafting these trees if possible.
So what do you think the benefits of grafting could be for the trees?
The first one would be when the trees were grafted in Brazil, they are actually much smaller. They are not like 60 meters tall. So they are usually around like 1 to 2 meters tall. And the cones are very easy to pick. The second benefit would be usually the tree takes 20 years to start providing cones or even more sometimes. So if you plant a tree today, it will take around 20 years to start giving cones. And you don't know how many cones it will give as well. With the grafting in Brazil, when I went there 2 years ago, they had the grafted tree that was 3 years old and it was already giving some cones, like it started to grow. So they think around 3 to 6 years, they could start giving cones instead of 20, which is another benefit. The other one is around quantity. We never know how many cones each tree will give. So in Brazil, what they did was they had a tree in the south of Brazil that was producing 700 cones per year, which is amazing. It's like a lot. And then they grafted this tree to others. So then these grafted trees are providing more cones as well. So then you could like control the productivity, control the quantity of nuts, and then you could have a commercial production or an orchard or something like that. And also the preservation, because of course we have to preserve the trees. They are really important for Indigenous people. They are amazing. They have like all the environmental benefits as well. But in terms of the nuts, the preservation would be interested because maybe you could plant the nuts again and have more trees in the future or something like that, because now they are dying with the fungus. This would be great. right to not only preserve the trees that we still have, but also maybe find something that could protect the ones that are already here, right? Because they're very, very old, like hundreds of years. So maybe in conjunction of other groups and people who have more expertise on these areas, we could do some work on that, definitely.
This is in line with the research that you did for your PhD, which was looking at the trees, not yes. for their wood production potential, but for their food production potential.
Exactly. Because if you graft, then you have like these small trees in an orchard, let's say, so they wouldn't be for wood, they would be for food, which is great because I think that's the main thing, right? Because for the wood, you would have to cut the trees and everything, which was done a lot in the past. But focusing on the nut and the food, I think it's the most important, especially because during my PhD, I found all this potential in health benefits and taste and texture and like versatility in terms of how many products can be produced with them and everything.
So how healthy are bunya nuts?
So they have a lot of fiber, which is really good. So if you eat the whole nuts, let's say boiled or roasted, you are eating a lot of fiber. They have around 5% of protein. You can think that it's not much, but if you compare to other types of nuts or other type of plant-based products, it's pretty good as well. I mentioned sometimes as well the inner coating. So it's kind of like a skin around the nut when you peel them off. It's actually edible, the skin inside the nut, and it's high in fiber as well, and it's high in antioxidants. So it has a lot of types of antioxidants can prevent diseases, which is really cool. So indigenous people, for example, they use it for making tea. What I did in my PhD was to make a flour. So grind the skin with the nut and make a flour that has this skin on it. Also, the nut has all the essential amino acids. It has also fatty acids like omega-3, omega-6, although it's not very fatty, but the fat is like a good quality. And it's very starchy, type of resistant starch, actually. Kind of like a fiber. It works like a fiber. So it's pretty healthy.
Dr. Jacqueline Mora-Nadolny from UQ's Alliance for Agriculture and Food Innovation speaking to Jennifer Nichols. If you'd like to explore even further what it takes to put food on plates around the world, join me, Callie Buchanan, and our team of specialist reporters from across Queensland as we break down the big issues of rural life, from the food you eat to the clothes you wear and the home you live in. It's all available for you on the ABC Listen app. Just favourite the Queensland Country Hour or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.